is Nelson Waddell.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Use your mic.
Oh, sorry.
Got it? There you go. Kiss that mic.
I know. It's, yeah.
Kiss the mic.
Mr. Waddell, can you please state your name for the record and what you do and what you know about compost?
My name is Nelson Waddell. I'm from Pennington, New Jersey. I've been in the composting industry for 40 years. I've developed many facilities here in the United States, Canada, overseas. I'm one of the founding members of the United States Composting Council, and I've worked very closely with the Nobel family and their green initiative over a long period of time.
And what, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
What do you know about Blessing's operation?
I was aware of Bruce Blessing, but he contacted me a couple of years ago and asked if I would consider helping him to organize marketing of his products. But before I agreed to do that, I wanted to see what they were and what he had. And what I discovered was that his materials are all clean materials, not taking any trash, no sewage sludge, all agricultural grade products. He's using the right ingredients. Not only that, he tested them over years on his own flowers and vegetables. And finally, he's got a certification from the Organic Material Review Institute, OMRI as it's called, which I've described as the gold standard. It'd be like the UL label or the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. And it's not easy to get. I mean, a lot of people say, well, our product is organic. But OMRI Organic is, as I said, the gold standard. So I said, sure. And what we started out looking at a couple of years ago was a multi-market approach, starting with large produce farms in the sandy soils of South Jersey, working with South Jersey Ag Products Company. And now we have dozens of farmers, thousands of acres, where Bruce's product is trucked up and it's land applied in bulk on farms with Rutgers University oversight. Secondly, we successfully concluded a contractual relationship with Scott's Fertilizer Company so that Bruce's products are in, you know, their Miracle Grow variety of soils and products. And then the final new market outlet is with Summit Salt Mountain Mulch, which is a regional company that sells mulch and ice salt in the whole Northeast. They have over 600 customers, and we've recently concluded an agreement with them where they're now having their Bruce's products stocked both in bulk and in bags with their customers and also his flowers. And of course, Bruce has always maintained a relationship with DOT contractors and those kinds of things.
Let me ask you a couple quick questions. Here's a letter actually addressed to council.
Mike.
Oh, here's a letter addressed to council from Summit. Can you, is that just memorialize the relationship with Summit Reference Marketing?
This memorialized the relationship that's evolved now over the last 6 months, now concluded, where Mountain Mulch is in an agreement with Bruce to market his products and along with the ones they already have to the 600 customers they have in the region.
If I may, Mr. Moore, I'll give you copies of this letter. Before I do, can you just summarize in a nutshell why this compost is good? I mean, just very, very briefly.
Well, it's clean material. It's all ag grade. I mean, let's face it, chickens are things we eat, so consequently, we're not dealing with sewage sludge or industrial waste or trash. We're dealing with clean materials. Number two, he's putting them in the right ingredients, you know, the right food, water, and air for the microbes to heat up, they make compost. With the new facility, he's actually putting in a soil manufacturing plant. I mean, he's doing it now, but in a slower fashion. This is going to improve it. By putting it in a building with air and with a biofilter, you're eliminating stormwater, you're eliminating odors, and you're giving much more control because the temperature is being monitored, oxygen levels are being monitored, very scientific, with computer control, feedback, so that it's really going into the next phase as far as a real manufacturing plant making high-grade organic soils.
How is the DAF working with the wood better than just spraying the DAF?
Well, wood is carbon. You know, you've heard of carbon filters, and it works the same way. Wood, in combination, has high carbon nitrogen ratio, so that it balances the high nitrogen, which is in the DAF, by combining those two things together. It also, the wood chips allow air to come up through the materials you're composting, so you get a thorough aeration or oxidation, because the microbes need food, water, and air, just like us, so that by combining those two things, you have a porous medium by which the air can, actually it's being sucked down in this because it's a negative air flow. So it just makes it that more efficient and more homogeneous as far as the material you're making.
When you apply it, is it better as a slower release? Or?
Well, yeah, because what you're doing when you're composting, you're stabilizing those materials so that consequently, you know, fresh manure, the nitrogen and the phosphorus can leach out into the waterway. If you compost it, you bind those things up because compost is more of a time release kind of a fertilizer. I mean, and it allows the plants to fix nitrogen from the atmosphere. It has high cation exchange value, and it reduces leaching from fertilizer. If you combine, put compost down, it absorbs three times its weight in water. So consequently, now if you just put straight fertilizer out and it rains, half of it leaches out into the water. If you combine it with compost, like the New Jersey farmers are, the compost absorbs the water, so they don't have to water as much, plus the fertilizer lasts longer, and you get more increased crop.
Very good. These gentlemen may have questions for you after this.
Thank you.
Thank you. At the Planning Commission hearing, there's a lady who actually worked for Bruce. Her name is Billy Gibson. She's a master gardener. Mr. Moore's already indicated that record is part of your record. She couldn't be here today, and she gave me an email, which I'll submit to council. And it's to summarize it, it's just talking about the values of this product.
Yes, as we indicated, everything that was introduced in the record on the Thursday night Planning Zoning Commission meeting is included in the record here today as well for both sides.
And I think it is very important that the reference the status quo that the council have Mr. Churchill's latest letter. I have an extra copy of it. It sounds like it's already in. The one I referred to a lot most recently. And I'm almost done. At the last hearing, there was an engineer, I think, here from Oklahoma that was called by the neighbors, and she had a slideshow presentation. I don't know if you're going to see it or not, but I know I'm not allowed to have a rebuttal. So I'm going to make some comments on that if you do see it, and I'll do it very briefly. The first page of it lists sort of certain violations and penalty, which doesn't. The first page of it. There was an engineer that appeared that was called by some of the neighbors in opposition. I think she was from Oklahoma, and she had a PowerPoint presentation. We weren't able to rebut. So I'm just anticipating it may come in, and I'm briefly going to address a couple issues on that. It had a cover page one, that listed a history of administrative penalties, three or four of them, which seems to not consistent with what we've learned from DENREC in the summary of the history of this. It's not consistent with what we've learned from DENREC. She has several pictures showing the site, and I think they're consistent, but you know, I think one thing that's important to realize is she, in this presentation, most of what they're quoting are terms of the consent order, which Mr. Blessings has had to comply with in the past. Some of it is more broad than what he's actually doing. There's a reference to sewage sludge waste treatment as being part of the byproducts, which they don't use anyway. She spent a lot of time talking about the water site that's around the area, and that's the intention of it. That's why you have that berm there now, and it was constructed, and that's why it's being tested on a regular basis. And that's at page 3 of that PowerPoint, if you happen to see it. There's a site about that, there's a complaint that the 2014 amended stormwater pollution plan for Blessing Facility states 90% of the greenhouse operations conducted undercover. And then she states 2016 aerial photos of Comcast piles clearly show the 100% of composting operations not undercover. The point of that was just the greenhouses are undercover. So it looks like, and she also stated that the material arrives in watertight containers, that is the DAF when it comes in, and she says, well, it's not stored that way, and tries to make hay out of that, which doesn't really make sense to me. And we believe the pictures don't really say much that that's what's there now. Part of the exhibit you have is a 2011 Duffield report where Mr. Blessing spent a good six digits doing soil on his, he paid for it himself, doing various well sites, drills around there to see if there were any problems. And it's the last submission in his consents, or that section of it, where Duffield basically, to summarize, concludes that if there are any high nitrogen levels, they're more likely coming from the runoff from the farm fields nearby. She also included various photographs showing, if you do see this, and I don't want to spend too much time with it, because maybe you won't see it, and I don't want to waste your time, but showing the various permitted fields surrounding the areas. These were fields that were permitted to spray the DAF, which was causing problems, we believe, and my client admits it was way too rich. Ironically, he's the one that came up with a solution to dewaterize it and try to take it under control, but also capture the power of it or the benefit of it. So I'm not sure how that helps their argument. Council's also aware, and Mr. Blessing's referred to it, that when you had the breach and they did that work down there, and there's some news stories that I chose not to submit, where they spent $38 million dredging that area up there by Prime Hook. And it did come with some smell and some flies, quite frankly. And so part of their PowerPoint also has a lot of technical information that we don't think was really relevant at this point. The last thing I have to submit to Mr. Moore, if I may, I have proposed finding of facts, which I think I won't read through. I really do believe that this application fits very well in your AR conditional use as an agriculture-related industry. My client is proposing to continue to comply with all DENREC's regulations and to improve it, quite frankly, and that's what we're asking for permission to do. The conditional that I've included in there actually includes that the site shall comply with DENREC. There can be periodic review along with the county. I know sometimes you'll grant a conditional use and might want to take a look at it in a year. So just put it on your calendar or something like that. And that makes sense. They'll comply with all soil conservation. The site shall plan or construct all necessary screening. The hours of operation will just be 7 to 7, Monday through Saturday. All lighting should be downward screened. All light sign may be posted at the entrance. The use shall be constructed as proposed so that described composting operation shall be covered. Buildings, the storage composting buildings will be built in phases, with two buildings being built first. Mr. Cole, you've indicated you might want to put a time on that if you're inclined to grant this conditional use. And my client's open to other conditions that you think might help the neighbors, but we think this operation is very worthwhile and could be good for the county.
Thank you. Do you have any other witnesses?
I do not, sir.
Are there any questions from council before I open it up for others? Mr.
Yeah,
Burton.
Go ahead. I got just a few questions off working off your narrative, and then I just have a comment in that I'm probably inclined to agree that the new proposal is much better than the old, and my concern is really the old. In your narrative, it says the applicant's operation will provide a vital service to the county as poultry industry waste streams, yard waste, wood waste, vegetable waste are converted to certified organic compost blends for various beneficial uses, et cetera, et cetera. Is that all you're requesting to be deposited in this new field?
Just to be very clear on your question and answer, I'd like to call Mr. Blessings up for that.
Okay.
Yes, I mean, no sanitary or anything like that. It's just primarily ag material. So because of our certifications and more certifications we're looking forward in the future, it would be no sanitary.
Are there currently sanitary deposits made there that are still resting there?
We did some early trials. What we did, I think, and I have to go back and look, some small amounts of a little bit of material for the town of Milton. And I think I have to look because it's been so long. Mr. Churchill can probably explain it more. Because it was the amount that was there in a small amount, that big pile that's in the back corner of the property on the concrete pad, the way it's wrote, all that material has to be recomposted. It has to be recomposted because it's the secretary's agreement is for that material on that compost pile. All right, and when we withdrew our application the last time, after we had the public opposition, we recognized that we wanted to make infrastructure and do what we needed to do. And the original permit included biosolids. That now I think that the different divisions all broke up. So you have a beneficial use determination by solid waste is one section. Obviously, we're governed under the DENREC side, which is surface water, because we land applied the material, the water, and whatever. But there's very small amounts, and it can be tested. We test it for salmonella. We test it for fecal. We have that regime. But, yes, the small amount is the reason that that material has been parked on that pad for so long, because even though it was composted one time, it has to go through the entire process again, which is obviously costly.
When you say, I call that the 13 Curves Mountain, right? So it's the first one that you come to off of 13 Curves.
Yes.
On the left.
Yes, there's been some question. Now, we reduced that material. What we requested, and you have the approval, to take the dewatered DAF material. The dewatered DAF material that we currently accept is the nitrogen source in which to jumpstart or reactivate that material being that's there. The reason it has to be reactivated is because that's the nitrogen source to regenerate all that carbon, and most of it's carbon there. Then it's laid in a windrow, it's monitored for 30 days, and then we put it in our storage bunker. But that product there, because we add the dewatered material, is one of our highest selling products now because it has nutrient value.
So the 13 Curves Mountain is getting the new dewatered material placed on it.
And eventually. Right now what we do is, originally when we started the process, currently what we accept is some material that is actually dewatered, cooked, processed, that's a feed additive, and that's currently what we take there. We made a request for the Purdue material, but since then Purdue has come online with their own facility.
All right, let's just stay with that, the mountain. So
okay.
You have sanitary disposal on that mountain?
No. There was sanitary disposal on a portion of that was very minute, that's probably not even there anymore. It was one corner. We processed it all up. And what we tried to do is we always segregated the sanitary portion of anything that we took in, because that was a cheap, low-grade compost that we blended with, after it was composted, we blended with roadside construction dirt, root mat and all that. That product right there, you get $7 a ton for it. Our ag-grade compost, because it's organic, you get $55 a ton for it. If it's dry, you get $125 a ton. That was part of the thing. We could not find a market for any type of sanitary. That's why we got rid of it.
So I think
are you selling
question.
The stuff off the 13 curve mountain, or is it just sitting there?
Yes.
Yes, you are selling it off of that.
Yeah, yes, we've had to clear for the secretary's order. We had to clear and process 100 by 100 foot area to start with, and we dropped the elevation off that pad down 20 feet. So the mountain is shrinking. But we mix that material daily and process it 66%, the 13 curves mountain, with 1/3 of the dewatered cooked meal. And then it heats it up, and then that's in 30 days, it's good quality compost.
Okay, because I've gone down that road for several years going down hunting back over there, and that mountain hadn't moved much from the road. I don't know what's happening in the back.
Well, we've left it there for number one as a buffer, and obviously we process the material, and also it protects from the wind a lot of directions that the odor may blow to. Now in the summertime, the trees are on the leaves are on the trees. It's not as bad, but in the wintertime, you might get some carry through. So,
all right, has that concrete pad been inspected at all?
There was two things. The concrete pad, as we in the secretary's order, it's primarily intact. But in order for us to recompost and apply for a new permit, it will have to be either resurfaced or resealed. And we want to do that, but why we did that, we might as well put a building over top of it. I mean, so if that is part of phase two or phase three, after we go ahead and start, we get the first two completed, because obviously selling the material is vital too. And that's where we want to construct the two buildings, because one thing about it is once we construct them, when you turn any type of material, it all has odors. It, we're reducing the amount that we physically have to turn it. And also, every time you turn it, it reheats up. You have an odor.
All right. Thank you. I have a question on this. The application is very rich, and the farmers in New Jersey are using it. Why aren't the farmers in Delaware using it?
We've got a few farmers that are using it, select ones that we use, but the value for the product is really in South Jersey, because they've banned chicken manure there. Carpenters use it. My family uses it. Also, compost competes with raw manure. And raw manure, because the compost doesn't have a huge nutrient loading value, then it's not really that valuable. The other material that we add to it will make it a valuable. And also what happens too is the fact that a lot of vegetable farmers, we've put it on West Farms, they've used a lot of it. It's just the value of it. We've found other markets where we can get a lot more out of it. Now, as we build our new facility, we can sell more locally, because we don't have the cost per yard in it, the cost per ton. And ultimately, our highest end market is the bag product, because at the bag product, you're up to $300 a ton. It's just there's where the money is at.
The applicant will submit construction improvement plans for improvements, including sediment and stormwater management plans, within 60 days of a CU. Why wouldn't that be done before the CU?
That.
You might know more. It's more of, I know when you do a CU, you have to put it on for final site plan. That's your procedure.
This is 60 days after.
Yeah, and I don't know what the timetable usually is to get it on for final site plan. It might have been just a matter of cost to make sure, you know, we're taking one step at a time. We need your approval to move forward on this. So we gave you the best concept plan we have. If you give us the green light, then we've offered to put some meat on the bones as far as the final site plan.
Yeah, and ultimately, we will land apply stormwater for 3 or 4 years out. I mean, the fact that we're building the buildings in a modular phase, that the system is designed now that we can build two systems, add on to it, and Bill's plan was the best because there will be a bunch of mini stormwater improvements within the segmented plan. But because it's an operational facility, we have 700 acres. There's a 10-year lease left on the 700 acres for the stormwater. We have an approval for DENREC to land apply the stormwater. That stormwater approval was put together after the land application of the DAF stopped, you know, because we needed a place, obviously, to put our stormwater and also to make sure that we had a viable path forward to not have any violations, because ultimately you get a violation, then it snowballs. And it was easier for us to impound the whole site with dirt than take the risk of another stormwater violation.
And okay, so your stormwater management plan currently is an impoundment.
Yes.
Okay.
Very costly.
And you mentioned a tank, a 90,000-gallon tank. Where is that?
The 90,000-gallon tank is an aerial tank in the back corner by the big pile.
Is that that yellow building?
Yeah. Thing? Yes. And what that is that that used to be the old washing station for the old Draper Cannery. So under that facility are massive concrete tiles that were all, that's the central collection point right there. And those tiles all are been there for years. They've got pretty good integrity. And one of the reasons that we chose to put the monitoring wells in was to make sure that we could make sure that there was no impact. At that 90,000 tank, we have two spreaders, two 5,000-gallon vacuum spreaders, tractor-mounted, pulls up. They suck up the liquid. Sometimes we put it on tankers, but most of the time we run it out with the 5,000-gallon spreaders, because one of the issues was when we were through the prior, if we hauled the material in the truck, it had to have sewage only on the back of the truck. Okay, so people would see that truck physically going to the farm. They would call the DENREC hotline, the environmental crimes hotline, and then environmental, you know, they've been to the farm hundreds of times. So what we did was we elected to just go ahead and run it out there by tractor. We have no spray irrigation, and the reason that we have no spray irrigation is because, not to my knowledge, there's no current permits or anything that allow you to spray irrigate your stormwater. So it physically has to be put in a rubber-tired vehicle and taken on that land. A lot of the neighbors always see us when it's raining. The reason they see us when it's raining, we're pumping all that stormwater. We put we usually leave 100 acres open vegetatively. The nutrient loading on the stormwater is very little. It's more carbon, but it's discolored. We even got rid of the truck to make sure that there was no confusion.
All right, just a couple more. Provide the department with a documented evidence that a bond or acceptable financial insurance mechanism in the amount of $250,000 acceptable to the department, evidence by the department in writing is in place. Is that been done?
Here's what we did. We worked with the department, and we negotiated being able to use the bond mechanism of our original $10,000 that was required for our distribution and marketing permit. And I placed $10,000 in an escrow account at the department. I supplied them with, I think, we've gone through financial analysis 2 complete times, and that's why it. One of the reasons that the $250,000 was going to be put in place was to be able to potentially haul that material to the landfill. The landfill doesn't take organic matter. I mean, it just, so that was renegotiated. Also, during the reason that the secretary's order was renegotiated several times, it was because of all of our accomplishments we had made along the time. The original one in 2012, you know, after the first hearing there for the permit renewal, the time limits were very quick, 30 days, 60 days. And so after negotiating it, everybody realized that, you know, we wanted to comply. So my bonding requirements that I'm required, it's taken care of.
At 10,000?
At 10,000.
All right, let me just switch topics here a little bit, and I just got a couple more. The current flood that occurred that jammed everything up in that area, how are we addressing that now? I mean, you're in a flood zone, correct?
Here's what they did. They obviously, some of my family own property, and we give them an access to go in there. They fixed breach, the bridge, spent all those millions of dollars. And also, in our area, we built a berm that I think, Bill Stevens, I don't know what the height, it's over 10 feet. So the area that we flood, the area that we have, will have berms, we'll have a berm, and also our discharge part, if we install this new system, will almost have like a floodgate. So if we ever got a major storm, that we could keep any water from almost coming in onto the property, and also we're going to raise the buildings to whatever elevation, obviously, we got to comply with.
Because it is in a flood zone. You do have a driveway, so if it comes up that creek, goes along the berm, it goes right into your property.
It never has, because we built the berm. Since I've been there, it's never flooded. The reason it flooded in 2010 was 2 things simultaneously. I think 2000, whatever that date, you had a massive snowstorm, okay, and the flooding all at one time. I think the breach slowly happened a few years later and got progressively worse. The old site that's been there has been a cannery since 1880. And we think by having a large enough berm that, you know, obviously we want to, you know, do whatever we do can do to make any kind of infrastructure improvements to protect it.
Have you ever done a wetland survey off the back, because it's a little close to that stream? Has there ever been an official wetlands delineation?
We've had the EPA that has come down. Obviously, you know, at a facility that site, you're reported all the time.
But a wetlands delineation, has that ever been done?
I think they're in the process. Bill is putting all the evaluations that we need of anything to go forward. In the past, the EPA's have been down there. They've done some boundary marks. We had some fill from the old cannery that we had to move back 2 or 3 feet. And from the best of my understanding, what's there now is within where it's allowed to be permitted. I had to have the EPA come down before I could construct the berm that protects me against the other side there.
Okay, and then if these 2 buildings were to be approved, would the plan be to demolish the 13 Curves Hill first?
Yes. Basically, what we're doing is this material that we are working on the 13 curves right now, and you're welcome to come out to the farm or anybody. Our door is always open. Just checking in at the scale house. What we do is we take that material and we work on it every day. We add the feed additive to it, and obviously, one of the reasons that we went for the Purdue material, the feed additive, there's only 24 ton of it every day. That's it. That's a small amount.
That's the two trucks that are coming out of that.
Yeah, there's a very small, plus we all the we do trucking out of there. We do internal hauling that we do for Purdue to their new facility. We do hauling for Purdue to their facility that they've got to haul down to Waverly, Virginia or whatever. And at the end of the day, we requested the Purdue material, not that we may or may not get it. Obviously, they've invested in their facility. In order to demolish that 13th curve, we needed more of that material to make it value added so it wouldn't be a cost to us. But with the compost sales that are this year's been one of our best years, that will probably rapidly grow and that will be the first. But once we take that material from that pad, we physically place it into a bunker. We have to age it for at least 8 or 9 months. If you do not age it for 8 or 9 months or any type of compost, and the C/N is off, it robs the nitrogen that the farmer has put from fertilizer. They don't use it. And that's why when you spread chicken manure, you wait for a couple weeks or however long. That it's not that it's rich material, it's just too heavy in carbon material. So
I have no further questions at this time. Anyone else?
If there are no one else from council, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor of this application?
Actually, I'm sorry. I have Roy to apologize. May I?
Yes.
I know we're, you know, getting a little late, but through the testimony, I was going back and reading some emails that we did receive this morning, so they're part of the record. And I had asked a question earlier. Let me pull up the email. As it relates to if the property is in violation currently, and I think it was mentioned that they had not received a violation. Well, part of the record that I received this morning, and I just want you to address it.
Me?
Not yet. Well, let me read.
Okay.
So, you know, part of what we got this morning was an email. And it was a violation from our planning and zoning department dated April 27, 2012. That's 5 years ago. And it was mentioned 5 years ago, in order to bring your operation up to speed, that you would have to obtain a conditional use. Why did it take 5 years?
Here's what I did. I've got that letter. That letter was supplied to me. I came down to county. I spoke with county council at that time, and the facility had been there.
You spoke to county council. What do you mean, the county council?
I spoke to Lawrence Lank. Okay. I think there was a group there at the time. I think Lawrence is no longer with us or whatever.
Okay.
And I brought everything there, and obviously what had happened was I was told that I had to go ahead and do a site development plan and also a total comprehensive plan of what was going to be there. All right. At that time, we worked with DENREC for our violation, and I started the process. It's took this long to develop what we needed to do, and I've had the property surveyed off three times.
There's probably the better answer is he probably should have moved faster.
Well, that's five years, and I think I'll have to ask our administrator and others from our perspective, from the county's perspective, when somebody's in violation, what are we doing for 5 years? That's a whole separate discussion, not part of today, but I think...
I understand. You ask, is he in violation or, you know...
Well, apparently from our own county, yes, you are.
Right, right.
And you have been for at least for 5 years.
I understand.
And I don't know, so to me, again...
Like you said, that's maybe a different procedural question. If you're in violation and what are your, you know, what rights do you have to have a hearing, or Mr. Costello would take you into JP court. But in this case, he obviously dragged his feet. We're here. It took too long. I'm sorry. So I think your point is a good one, but we're here with what we got, and I think you know what he wants to do.
And one other thing, and part of that property, from the tax records and the tax we paid, is commercial. And from what I understand, and I had, and no defense on my part, I had an engineering company that designed the first composting, you have to do a draft of what's going to be there, okay? And that's what the permits were issued off. And obviously, at the time, DENREC issued the permits. Not only did they issue the permits, they issued them a couple more times or whatever. And it was advertised, but not knowing, we assumed, and I'm not saying that it was my assumption, because it was a ag entity, and also that part of the partial with the first site plans were commercial or whatever we were doing. We didn't need a conditional use. And when I did come to the planning and zoning, I had to have the full comprehensive plan of what was going to be there, and that's what we have now, because at the time there was no other composting facilities that even existed in the state.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not taking away that. I mean, my point is our own county gave you a violation 5 years ago, and here we are.
Well, and I'm one defense.
I'm just, it's on the record. It is a part of the record, so I'm addressing it here because it was a question I asked earlier.
Let me say one thing. The violation that the letter that they got in, just like it was accused of being a mulching operation. We never made mulch there. We still don't make mulch there. So when I came down, they assumed it was a mulching operation, and then when I brought all the paperwork, then they realized it was the compost operation, and we don't make mulch there.
So this letter was done in error?
I don't know how it was done, but I addressed it.
So one last question.
Back, yeah.
One last question, then I'm done with that piece of it. And that is, did you ever receive another correspondence from our planning and zoning department since this letter dated April 27, 2012, as it relates to being in violation and a remedy to it? Beyond this letter that I have that I received this morning.
Well, Mr. Arletta, I never received that. I've only been involved with this project when we.
Well, let me ask the owner.
When we submitted the application.
No.
Yeah.
This is the only letter you ever received from this county ever as it relates to a violation.
Yes, and what proposed me to go ahead, and we had been working on our plan to get it presented. I was invited to a meeting in Milton by Miss Maria Payan on composting facility, and obviously when I got there I was bushwhacked, and so I thought to myself, we're close to our final plan. And the next day I walked in to the county and filled out whatever I needed to do, and obviously disclosed that we did have a plan to come through the county. But I've never received anything, nor do I know of anything.
Okay, thank you.
I have one more question. You don't need to bring up what you're going to do into planning and zoning. You have to bring what you're doing, right? You say, this is, I'm in violation, but this is what I'm doing. I'm seeking a conditional use. If you want to modify that conditional use, you can do that at any time. But that's the rule. I think Janelle will tell you that. But did you mention that a commercial zoning is on this site?
On the Draper side.
So it's not on this site.
Well, there's two. Here's kind of where the part of it, and I got the documents. The whole farm was owned by Draper Foods. Draper Foods owned the Drury side, and they owned the Draper side where the cannery was. Mr. Drury, which is Red Fox Farms, bought the main portion of the farm. And the main portion of the farm consists of where he built his house and the agricultural land. The site where the compost facility is or currently was a piece that Mr. Drury was supposed to get years later, but we had did a deal and whatever, and it was transferred on the tax. I don't know if it was ever transferred or not. So when the engineers did it, they picked it up as being the same commercial piece of property. We pay commercial taxes on the Draper side.
And the Draper side is in the yellow on that map?
Yes.
So you are not zoned agriculture on that portion. You're zoned CR1.
Yes.
No.
C1.
No.
Well,
grandfathered.
Was it a non-conforming, possibly, Janelle?
It's quite possible the cannery was predated zoning. Right. I actually have the zoning up right now. As you can tell, there's no color on it, which means the properties are zoned AR1.
Right, it was grandfathered, and it was.
And that, and that might have been. You know, we weren't involved back in when that first violation came in, but it's not uncommon, or we have in the past tried to establish non-conforming uses over a period of time if it was a cannery, but there can't be interruption. You know, when he came to me, we were just, no, we should get a conditional use, say what you want to, say what you're doing, say what you want to do, and ask for permission. But obviously the history of this property may have had some commercial use.
Okay, and the owner of this entire farm is Draper?
I have a lease purchase on the whole yellow portion and an option on the other side there.
Okay. It's Draper and Foxville.
Yes.
Okay. At that dividing line that we've seen.
Okay. If there are no other questions from council, is there anyone else here today that would like to speak in favor? Anyone else in favor?
I do want to just ask one thing. I'm trying to find out where Rob was reading about a letter. It's about a violation, and what I got in my email was never addressed to Blessings. The letter went to Red Fox Farms, whoever that is.
Mm-hmm. It was the property owner.
It was Blessings, but it references Blessings in there. He was.
But Blessings didn't get a letter. They weren't even carbon copied on it.
No, the policy is you send violation letters to the property owners.
Okay.
And I believe that letter referenced a bagging and mulching operation.
There was one
which is
Red,
also
Red
in
Fox
their
Farms, and one to Frank and Marilyn Draper.
Correct. They are the property owners.
Okay. So, I mean, we don't actually know. We don't actually know that letter ever got to Blessings.
I can't answer that question. We send letters to property owners, and because they are the responsible parties for any violations.
Okay.
Just trying to make sure we're on the same page. Thank you.
And I don't recall, after two calls, seeing anyone else that wanted to speak in favor. Is there anyone that would like to speak in opposition of this application?